Winston City Council, November 6, 2023.
Well, it's a walk-in in Medford, and
there's some lines rolling around the building.
Yeah, that's about right. Well, he said give him a call and he'll give me some preference. So I call him, you know, where you get to, you're supposed to be able to get credit cards. Well, we can't go as well. I'm confined to the house. I can't leave. Well, this is where, here's three telephone tracks. We'll give you that you can call and make an arrangement.
I'll stop. Sucks to be you, sir.
Right? And they had nothing in the system that will support the replacement of an ID card and
inbound.
You'll do that about 6 months.
When you look at another, they require fingerprint.
Interesting.
It's disgusting.
Okay, let's cue this thing up. Call the meeting to order. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much. Good to see a full house. Roll call. Councilor White?
Here.
Councilor Cunningham?
Here.
Councilor Hobson?
Here.
Councilor Anderson?
Here.
I'm here. Adjustments to the agenda, Mr. Bauer?
None, Your Honor.
Thank you, sir. Consent agenda. Council minutes for October 16th of 23. Everybody read them. Mm-hmm. Looking for a motion to approve, please.
I make a motion we approve minutes.
I have a motion. Looking for a second.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Comments from the audience. Anyone wishing to discuss items not covered on this agenda is welcome to address the City Council as a whole. Please state your name and address for the record. Each speaker will be given a maximum of 3 minutes. Speakers may not defame, intimidate, or use profanity or personal offense. The Council reserves the right to delay action until they have full information on the issue. Would anyone like to speak to Council?
I do. Please. Christy Glenn Knutson, 241 Southeast Darrell Avenue, Winston. Burning.
Burning what?
Whatever people burn in their yards.
Okay.
It used to be 2 months a year, which was good. Great, everybody can do their yard work and get all the leaves and do whatever it is that they need to do. And then Snowmageddon happened. And they changed it to 4 months, temporary, Well, it's been a few years now, and it's still 4 months a year. And with all of the fires that are going on in the summers, and all of the slash burning, and all the field burning, and the people burning in their yards, people like me who have acute asthma get to go outside maybe 2 months out of the year. If you drive down the highway, you see the blue haze that sits over Winston because all the smoke comes down and sits right here. And I want to know if you guys will consider putting it back to 2 months a year. Why?
The reason I also have lung problems.
Mm-hmm.
The 2 months condenses all that smoke worse than it does in the four. And that's my opinion, my personal opinion.
I'm the one that actually advanced 4 months to bring it here in the fall.
Yeah.
And the reason was for the same reason, condensing that, and also because sometimes in October, we still have fire season in, which means that it leaves it, all the debris that accumulate during the summer, we can't burn it until the rain starts, and then you can't burn it all.
I thought that's why it was moved to November.
In October and November. In the fall.
In the fall.
And then in the spring, it's
April and May.
April and May.
Yes.
This leads right into the June fires.
If the fire season is in effect, we can't burn. That's in the ordinance also. During fire season, you can't burn. So if there is
I was asked, and I said I would bring it up, and now I will let them know.
Duly noted.
Yeah, Your Honor, if I may. Also, we have a fair number of wood stoves in the community, and they contribute a lot all winter long, and that it's, you know, Douglas County wide.
Right. It is. My favorite is when they burn their plastic. That always helps.
Well, see, it's not supposed to be burn barrels. Are not supposed to be part of the deal.
They don't put it in barrels. They put it right out in the big pile in their yards.
Classic.
If you see that or anybody sees that, call the police and we'll take care of it.
Okay.
And also, too, a couple of times, well, not because I'm sitting up here, please don't misunderstand me. I've seen it and I called it in, and the police is right there and giving citations.
Good to know.
And they know that they're supposed to be looking for it.
Thank you. Anybody else? Bev?
I signed up to talk. Is this the right time?
Yeah, you. If you want to speak to council.
I may be 30 seconds over. Just warning.
Well, you're wasting time.
I want my time back, just like they do on a football field.
Oh, you don't want that.
And the Chargers are ahead. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to provide my thoughts related to the funding concerns that were recently brought to light in the mayor's letter sent out in October. My first concern I would like to raise is the need for some increased transparency and communication with the citizens of Winston related to funding. While a letter was sent out in October with our sewer bills, or what they now call the city services bill, the letter only described the funding concerns and that solutions were being looked at by the mayor and council that may lead to increased fees. The letter did not let us know that agreements had already been reached to increase our bills by $10 a month, as evidenced by the public notices that were voted on and passed on October 2nd for the public safety fee increase and October 16th to increase the sewer bill. As a result, our November city services sewer bills were $10 more a month, but we were not given a heads up in the October letter from the mayor of this already determined increase. And there was no explanation in the November bill of the new and increased charges. This leads me to my major concern of the city's budget. The letter sent by the mayor in October indicates that our total revenues of $1.3 million are not sufficient to cover the police department budget of $2.3 million. The mayor also indicated that the police department budget has been growing by 18% annually. Although when the city manager called me to find out the focus of my comments today, he stated that was not correct and the police department budget is only increasing by about 11% a year. Regardless, we cannot continue to afford a budget deficit of this magnitude. I'm reminded of a few years back when the county commissioners were wrestling with funding for county services. The decision was made to eliminate our county health department and funding for our county library system as just a few of the ways for the county to trim their budget while still providing required services. While personally, as a nurse, I was extremely disappointed at this solution, the commissioners pointed out that they were not required to have a county health department and that the state would have to step in. Services that were required and funded by state and federal dollars were contracted out to local agencies, and that's where we remain today. Winston is at a similar crossroad. We simply cannot afford to have our own city police department. It is not personal. It is simply a fiscal reality. Sheriff Hamlin is highly respected in our county and has done a great job of providing public safety throughout the county as required. And as required to the cities that do not have their own police departments like Canyonville, Drain, or Yoncalla, and others. Another option is to contract with the Sheriff's Department for some services, like having a deputy dedicated to patrolling our less than 4 square miles of city property. Contracting for police services over time has shown to be cost effective while providing more efficient and higher levels of service. I was a civil deputy sheriff in Broward County, Florida for 14 years, and over that time, several cities gave up funding their own police departments and contracted with the sheriff to provide police services. It just makes sense. We're a small town of less than 6,000 people. We simply do not have the funds for our own police department, whether we like it or not. Adding on a public safety fee is simply a way to go around the citizens and increase their taxes without violating the measure that was passed years ago to limit property taxes, especially with five of the $8 for police operations, which essentially means it can be used for anything, from salaries, raises, to office equipment. But with the huge deficit that we have between revenue and the police department budget, public safety fee is not a solution, especially when there are so many other essential services the city needs to provide for its citizens. I could say more, but my time is more than up.
That's okay. Keep going.
Thank you for listening.
You can keep going. Keep going. As far as I'm concerned.
Well, it's just these are hard choices, and you people are in difficult decisions. But it's just a fiscal reality. I did do some more reading on it, and I found several articles that talked about contracting, and they were current articles. And Oregon is actually one of the states that has shifted to more contracting of police services. A lot of people fear that they won't get the same coverage, they won't have the same control. But you do, or at least that's what, you know, everything I read has shown. It shows that you actually have a dedicated, you can have a dedicated officer to be patrolling your cities. And there are all kinds of things that can be negotiated. And they said that was one of the main things, was you wanted to make sure you had a good negotiator for your city that was handling what you want, you know, in those contract negotiations. The figures I saw were much cheaper for cities than we're spending by far. And I know when I worked in Broward County, I mean, nobody likes to give up their schools. You know, it's the same thing with consolidation of school districts from small towns. We don't like to do that. You know, we like living in our small towns. We don't have this budget. I mean, it's no different than any of us here. You can't possibly have income and have expenses that are double the amount that you take in, and they're increasing every year. So whether we like it or not, we need to look at a solution.
We've looked at some of those solutions, mm-hmm. and it didn't seem practical at this point to surrender local control of our police department at that point in time.
When does it become practical?
Well, there you go. Another budget year is coming up, and with the approaching Police Association negotiations for a new contract. Maybe this point will be different in the future. But as is right now, we've discussed it, and Mr. Bauer, you got some numbers for us, or?
I was just getting them.
Okay. The other thing that you mentioned, the increases that went through, yes, they were mentioned in the letter, but they were also mentioned on agendas that were provided before each of those meetings when those were passed. It was public notice. There was a public hearing on each of them.
Yeah, they were published in the paper. I mean, who reads the public notices in the paper?
Well, there you go. I mean, I'm sorry, but you don't mean to personally call you every time we're going to do something
about it? No, but you could have said something in your letter.
I thought I did.
You said you were looking at
things.
Yeah,
we were, and we had meetings.
Well, you passed the one resolution October 2nd.
Right.
You did the other one the 16th.
Right.
You could have mentioned that in your letter.
I could have.
You know, the one thing that you also mentioned, too, you know, about public safety fee. Okay, we had squad cars that were in pursuit, and the tires would drop off. We had squad cars that the doors fell off. And that fee, the good part of that fee, is for buying police cars, and that is fenced money. And the thing is, by doing it that way, the city did not have to go out and borrow money to buy squad cars. And squad cars, give you an idea, jumped, if I remember right, one from 52 to 72 in one swipe.
That okay. was the original $2 public safety fee.
Three.
Well, originally, years ago, that's why our bills went from $50 to $52.
No, it was increased $3, Beth.
It was, yes. $3.
Okay, well,
I mean, but, who's
but that was several years ago, and that was for new police cars then.
What, 4 years ago?
2019.
Yeah. About 4 years ago.
And now we're increasing it again.
Yeah, and I just said the price of the squad car went up $20,000 in one swipe.
But those are supposed to be included in the police department budget. That's part of the cost of running a police department.
And that's where the budget money is located.
Mr. Bauer, do you have some numbers there for us, please?
Yes, if I may. You know, you talk about the difference between the police budget, $2.3 million, and property taxes, $1.3 million. That distinction was drawn to show that property taxes we don't collect enough property taxes to fund the organization. So we generate additional revenue beyond that. We couldn't continue to operate with that big of a disparity. The $5 increase generates about $150,000 a year. So you can tell that would not close the gap on $1.3 million or $1 million. Well, we have franchise fees that we collect around $500,000 on from all the utilities. We have state liquor taxes that we collect, about $115,000, cigarette taxes. Unfortunately, they're not very much anymore. They're about
$7,000. That's a good thing.
Yeah, that is a good thing. You're right. Fines and forfeitures from our court operation generates another $150,000 a year. We have a police contract with the school district to provide the SROs to the school district that we collect $184,000 a year for. There's the property tax, that's the largest chunk of money that the city receives. And you can see that it's not been enough for at least the last 8 years to cover, well, before that, like 10 years, since 1.3 was the principal funder of the police department. Even then, the general fund had to subsidize it by several hundred thousand dollars a year in order to do it. So there's always been a subsidy on top of the property tax. It's just that again, that distinction was drawn just to show that property tax doesn't cover our operating needs of the community. So, but we do generate these other revenues. We just needed a few more dollars as we look forward to what we're looking at coming up.
But even with what you just said, it sounds like we need a lot more than a few more dollars. Even with all of those funds, I mean, I'm trying to add in my head, that barely met the deficit for the police department.
That's correct. It does.
What about our roads and these franchise fees and stuff? Those are supposed to go to services.
The franchise fees that we collect, they go into our general fund, and depending upon where we receive them from, some of them end up in the street fund to fund streets. So.
I live off Old Tokay Road, and when I moved to Winston 20 years ago, I remember driving down the road thinking, man, this is like a developing country. I thought, surely it must be at the top of their list for repaving. 20 years later.
Yeah, there's no money.
Never
for
been
it.
Done.
One of the biggest issues all cities face is maintaining your current street systems. There's no funding
but
for that.
But we're a small city. Right. We can't afford our own police department. I mean, that's evident in the numbers.
If that's your only rub as the police department, we're not going to save, from this particular point forward, a lot, that much money by contracting.
You definitely could.
No, we've researched that.
It depends on the level of services you're wanting
to
contract.
Okay, so what kind of level of service do you require?
You require a deputy to be on patrol.
We have 24/7 now.
Yeah, and you could have 24/7.
You
don't need to have a detective bureau. You don't need to have
a bureau
in the office.
We don't have one.
Mr. Bauer, you were going to say something else?
Yeah, we have 5 patrol officers right now.
Okay. How many personnel is there in the police department?
Well, there are 5 patrol officers. Okay. There are 3 command staff, 2 sergeants and a chief. Okay? You have to provide supervision.
You
over
don't
your
when you
thing.
Contract for services. They have supervisors.
You can't contract for one officer with the sheriff's department. You have to have a minimum of 2 officers on at any one time. So, you know, there's way more expense involved there than what you're looking at.
So, I would say that's where you have to get in a good negotiator.
And
you do say services. That was one of the things they brought up, is that you don't need to have all of this administrative staff.
And we don't have those now.
We
have administrative
2 sergeants,
staff,
a chief.
Sure.
Yeah.
But they also do patrols. So, yeah. I mean, it's not. I mean, even our chief is out patrolling to fill in when the guys need a break. So, you know, we run on the bare minimum right now. So. But with the sheriff's department, the other thing you don't have is any control on prices going forward.
And they have found in the research that when people contract, that has not been an issue.
Well, they haven't found that in all cases.
You can never find anything in all cases.
You can always find cases both directions if you want to look.
The research continues to show that contracting is a viable alternative for small cities.
It is.
And you don't even have to contract. Technically, just like with the health department, they're required to give us public safety protection.
No, you've got to contract with them, number one. And
if you want a deputy devoted to your city.
If you want police protection, you're going to have to. I can't even imagine this community of 6,000 people that services another 10,000 around us on a regular basis, and with you read the paper, with the crimes that we've had in this community, you know, the murders, the kidnappings, the things that we've had, you can't get an officer on those things right now. And if you're going to leave it up to the county to just police your city when they're available, they might be an officer coming from Diamond Lake. Or Reedsport, the closest officer to get here. So
I haven't heard complaints from any of these other cities where the sheriff's providing services.
Have you researched them?
I haven't heard any complaints.
That wasn't my question.
Research them in which way?
Have you contacted them to find out if there are issues?
No.
Okay.
The one thing that you might find interesting, if I remember right, a couple of years ago, we went out and is talking to the sheriff's department. Mm-hmm. And the cost of providing the coverage that the city, the minimum requirement that the city could, you know, had to be provided to, was very, very expensive. The second thing about it is that one of the things, and if I remember right, the school district here happened to them. They got rid of, you know, their they went on with a bus contract. They got lowballed, and then they come back, and they're at the mercy of the facility to provide services that at a drastically increased cost. Mm-hmm. The cost difference, if I remember correctly, was not that much difference between what we would be spending with the sheriff's department for less coverage than what we are getting right now for virtually the same amount. Okay. So what happens then is that you have the potential, I'm not saying it would happen, but you have the very strong potential that the city public safety could be walking on very thin ice. And believe me, this has been tossed around. And but the mayor is absolutely correct. At this point in time, yes, it can be looked at, okay? But the thing is that we have to remember is our level of coverage. Every week, we get what is called a police report. Mm-hmm. And if I remember, so far this year, we are how many hundred arrests?
Oh, I don't recall the number offhand. You?
I mean,
it's up there.
I mean, like, really up there, well over 400, mm-hmm. just in this town. Okay? The amount of traffic stops is considerable. The amount of assistance is considerable. So basically what's happening is that our police department is very, very busy. We have had several major crimes this year alone also. Yeah. And the response time, where we actually at times had to go and support the sheriff's department because they couldn't get coverage in Green.
We do that a lot.
So to answer your question, Dave, 437 arrests so far this year. 1,026 traffic stops.
All within the city limits?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. The other thing, too, you know, and what I think is lost on, I know it's not real easy to accept the fact, but if you comparatively look at some of the other communities' wastewater collection bills and other fee bills, you'll find that we are well below the neighboring communities.
Well, I don't complain about the wastewater bills. And stuff.
But, well, essentially you are, because it all comes from one pot.
Well, I'm not. Okay. What I'm saying is we have a police
department
we can't afford.
But I don't think you're going to be happy with the results.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that you might find interesting, too, is that we do go out and try to save money. We got one project that Snow Avenue pump station, we went out and we saved 50% of the entire cost by getting a grant. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. We average about how much money a year in grants?
Oh, depending upon the year, well over $1 million some years, and you know it's less.
I think the focus or my point.
I'm not
criticizing how you are trying to find services for us, trying to find grants, trying to find funding. I'm just saying it's a fiscal reality that we cannot afford our police department, and we need to find a better solution.
Okay.
Whatever that solution is, the way I see it, we don't have the money. I mean, it's sad. It's just like the county had to recognize we just can't fund a health department. We can't fund a library. I think we've reached that point in this city.
Well, not funding the health department and the library is a little different than not funding the police department.
What was that?
Funding a health department or a library is a little different than funding
the
police department.
The library's doing very well all on their own without the city.
Okay, we're gonna move on.
I'm just
please.
Saying that's the choices they had to look at.
Hey, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Val. Appreciate you being here.
All right. Thanks for more than my 3 minutes.
Point well taken.
So next time you owe us minutes.
I guess.
Reports, boards, commissions, committees, and schools. Did you guys ever have a work board meeting?
He did?
Okay. We're going to get right into department reports. Mr. Sherlock.
Yes.
You have the floor.
So, first off, good evening. Unfortunately, last month we had a permit violation on our effluent. It had to do with ammonia. We've had violations in the past, and they've been related to mechanical failures, but this was actually a mistake on staff's part. So we did a process change on October 5th that was not normal to that time of the year. And because of that, we had some back feed from a pump that filled a tank. The mistake wasn't discovered until the 6th. And so we rectified it. We ran some just grab sample tests. Everything seemed like they were good. And then a week later, we seen our nitrification drop off to next to nothing. And so we were kind of assuming that the bacteria went approximately 24 hours without oxygen. The young bacteria is the bacteria that died off. The older bacteria survived, and that's why everything was good for a week. And as we wasted that bacteria, that older bacteria died off, there was nothing to replace it.
Was this similar to what happened a couple, 3 years ago with the...
That was like a total wipeout.
Okay.
Of everything.
With the county, you mean?
Yeah. So what's the end result? What are we...
We were in violation for 2 days on our, dailies. October 23rd, we finally got back into compliance, and then we did daily composite samples. So we were able to bring the monthly average down for the ammonia, so we were in violation for those 2 days.
And what does that mean?
Don't know yet.
Okay.
Don't know what the fine is going
to
be.
Right. DEQ was notified October 6th when this all went down.
There may not be a fine involved ultimately, so we just have to wait and see what they have to say.
And I filed the monthly BMR today with DEQ. Andy Ulrich there, who's fantastic, he got back to me right away. He said he was out of the office, but he would get processed next week, and then from there it goes on to compliance department, and then they look at your record and go from there. So.
Say hello.
No, it's time to dose my dog. Sorry.
Is your time up?
No, he has seizures. It's time to give him medicine.
Okay, Chris, anything else you have for us, sir?
Nope, just that tidbit of good news.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
That's, at least that's for 1 month.
Yeah, we'll be looking for a Christmas card now.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Howell, Andy, what do you got for us?
Well, good evening, everybody. Mayor, Dave, good to see you, Dave. The last time I saw you, you was laying in, on your backside at the care facility, so good to see you up on your 2 feet. So just a couple things. We got a couple pictures to kind of share with the council, a couple projects we've done, depending which one Thomas pulls up first. But we did our haul and Edgewood drainage project that we just got completed. That area was an open ditch area, and the pictures will kind of go over the pictures a little bit. Haul and Edgewood, you got that one up, or whatever you got. So this is just a couple shots of some work being done there, but there was an open ditch on Hall that for years we've been dealing with, which is looking towards the north. The residents in the back, it was just an open ditch, the water would cascade over, creating flooding issues for the neighboring properties. But they couldn't access it, and we were aware of that. We wanted to address that last fiscal year. Didn't have the funding to be able to accomplish that at that particular time. So one of the things this budget year, if council recalls, that we put that in there to address this one. So we've got that one done. We just wanted to share a few pictures. We had a catch basin installed, put a new storm pipe in underneath the, one of the things that was the water main there, that blue pipe. We didn't know if that was going to light out, which was really tight air. So we got the elevation drop proper drainage slope to be tied into an existing catch basin over towards the south, which is a pipe system. That piping system continues on to an open ditch again, but there is some piping that allow the city, that allow us to, in the future, to put piping into the open ditch, cover it. As we go through the process of addressing some of the drainage throughout the city, and that's just one area we just wanted to share that. Just a couple pictures of that project. So. And the other one, we just got Northeast Darlene. We just did a grind and an overlay on that one. That's been another area of town that, you know, we do a lot of hot patching, cold patching over there for years. Every time you go over there, you know, folks, I understand it. You know, you hear some of it tonight. What are you going to do here? You guys always show up with your cold patch. I mean, it's not a pleasant thing, which I understand. You know, people get upset. So we targeted this area, too, once again. We brought this for council and the budget. This is one of the things we wanted to address. So this road was a bad road. I've been here for 17 years, and other than cold patch and hot patching, we did a temporary little patch years ago there. That's been primarily it. So we went in there. Dr. came in and did a grinder in that one. We assisted to help bring costs down on some of the city streets we just purchased a couple years ago. So we wanted to share that a little bit. Good news, kind of helped the residents out a bit. And then the after fact, of course, everybody likes that new asphalt on a road. So I wanted to share that with the council. Just a couple things we've done. Anyway, that's the last couple projects on that one, which is always favorable to go in there and address some of these things as we go through the community trying to hit some of these targeted areas.
And you, I'm sorry to interrupt, but what was the cost of doing that?
That one was $29,350.
Okay.
So, that's reasonable. Yeah, it's not too bad. All in all, like I said, we try to get as great as much as we can, so we schedule other projects, things like that, and really, like I said, we use our sweeper, we use our whole system we can, and we're up here.
Have Knife River closed their bash plant yet?
They were open just here recently, and they're getting close to them. So we piggybacked off of them, and worked out really well. I just want to share with the council a couple of projects. And that kind of, and I'll just hit a couple of numbers that I know we've been talking about tonight. So the remaining, this fiscal year budget that we have left for our capital outlay, which is over $1,000 for street drainage improvements, we'll end up with $21,220 left this fiscal year in our line item budget. And our street maintenance budget will have a remainder currently as of today of $29,694. That's what we have left. That'll carry us through until next fiscal year. So that's where we're at for the number wise. I want to share with the council also. It's not like we have an abundance of money, so we try to leverage what we have. We're very cognizant of the facts that taxpayer monies are the best use we can. And I want to share some positive with the council. So that's just a couple updates for council. And in the community park pavilion, do not have a start date. We have hunting season things going on, so you're not going to tell a contractor. Go do your hunt. We'll worry about this pavilion. It's been so, don't have a start date yet.
Unless he's hunting in the pavilion.
You're right. But that's, we're excited. We got the, you know, Jeremy Hunt's got his contract for that project. He'll do a great job, good work with. Expect that to go really well. It's on our budget, for his number anyway. And we'll kind of next to that.
Great. Thank you, Andy. Any more questions or comments for Andy? Perfect. Move right along. Thomas, community development and planning, sir.
Yes, thank you, Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. So just one more quick update for you in addition to the department report that went out. As you know, we are vying to get a updated wastewater master plan. We've been endeavoring to flush out a PDQ loan program that's 100% forgiveness. It's about $100,000, and they would forgive the entire amount for the technical assistance. So the program is essentially a big pot of money, and you have to submit a lot of documents, a lot of exhibits. And as soon as you submit those, and if you're ready to sign loan documents and the money's there, then you get it. So we submitted all of those materials. We should have a resolution for you in short order, probably the beginning of December. for your support in that regard, which will be the last item. Our contact with DEQ is in the review process and should let us know shortly. But we did, there's a scoring process, and we did score high on it, so we do feel very positive that we will give a vote back.
Question for Thomas?
Just one real quick one. Bring me up to speed a little bit. A couple of weeks ago, we had that once. You had the one stop, which went very well. And the one stop was, if we go with DEQ. Okay, on a $4 million project, they will forgive $2 million for that. So we were saving $2 million right there off the bat. But one of the things, if I remember correctly. Is that we have to match and do it by, I think it's law, is raising the sewer rate up to have some type of matching funds.
Yeah, so it's between a $3 and $5 increase.
Yes. So yeah. That is mandatory, in which we don't have much of a chance, so we can recoup $2 million that we don't have to pay out.
It's not set by statute, it's by the funding agency. You won't get the the grant loan program if you don't have the rate high enough to cover your requirement.
Yeah, the funding agency makes a contingent upon, because you have to have the prove you have the debt coverage to pay. And there were three funding operations that essentially rolled out their schematic: Business Oregon, USDA, and then of course DEQ. The DEQ option, which would of course allow for the 50% forgiveness. And the $2 million required us to raise our bill to $43.04, which we are up down to the $46 range.
One of the things that the funding agencies establish in the process is the community's affordability. And then once you have reached that affordability rate, then you get grants associated with your project. That's all part of it. We are well below our affordability rate right now.
A big part of the problem we have, too, is that we're above that one magic number, which is a population of 5,000.
Yeah.
But were we at 4,999, our grant process would be a lot more fruitful. But we're over 5,000, so we don't qualify for a lot of grants that would be for a smaller. Any more questions for Thomas?
Thank you, Thomas.
Very good job. Thank you. Mr. Bauer.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. Got several things I'd like to talk about. First, Safe Corporation, which provides our workman's comp insurance. Generally, annually generates a dividend. Depending upon how incidents occur statewide for SAFE, from all the organizations that at least get their insurance through them. And if you come in with a lower experience rating, then you get a dividend. So we're provided a dividend of $5,000.
Right.
So that's only program I've ever seen where we pay money and then we get some money back if something happens. So yeah, pretty nice dividend check. We also applied for and were awarded a $1,200 grant for security cameras, and we received $1,600. So we were really happy about that. It allowed us to put a couple more cameras. So, leading into that, one of the things that we've had an issue with, as well as a number of members of the community have, is getting a electric service set. It's been well over a year that we've been working with PP&L on getting an electric service up to the reservoirs to fire up our internet radio digital internet process, and we finally got through their permit stage and paid the money, and we were hoping they would get to it last week, but they didn't. The other thing that we've been waiting on or dealing with is the police chief has wanted to put a camera out in front of the city, or in front of the police department, so that it can monitor the parking lot as well as the street up and down. The reason for that is that at night we interview a lot of customers to the police department, for lack of a better term, out in the parking lot. They do a lot of interviewing and discussions out in that parking lot. We want a camera on it so we can always be filming whatever is going on out there. So we had purchased the camera. We also have, we want the area light that's there upgraded to LED so we can actually see something rather than that old light that we've got, the old Cobra head light it just doesn't put out. Power anyway, so we had talked to Future Power or Pacific Power about that, and they said, well, okay, you know, this is what you got to do. And so we went through the process, and then they came back and they said, oh, wait a minute, there's a new policy, and they won't let us hang cameras on our poles anymore. Can't do that. So we're in there, and to resolve this issue, they were willing to install a pole, donate the pole, and install it by a donation.
Get the power to it?
To get, well, we have to have an electrician do that. But
yeah,
yes,
but they'll.
Yeah. So we have two poles standing side by side because they can't put it on there. Anyway, we had the estimator come out, and somehow they've decided how they can do it using taking the old pole out, put a new pole in. It needs to be taller anyway. So, but it's all going to be donated. And so that's what we were looking for, is the cost-effective solution for that. But rather than go argue for maybe a policy exemption or change, the donation route was an easier route for them to go. So that's where we ended up with that. So we will end up with a camera and a bright light in front of the police department. Also, I applied for a grant through Roseburg, which is a forest products company now, but it's also, its name is now Roseburg, not Roseburg Forest Products. So, those of us who have been around for a while know it's a number of things they've been through. But anyway, they have a grant program for small grants. So I'd applied for two speed signs. One a permanently mounted one like we have in front of the high school that shows, rather than a speed trailer, we have a permanently mounted sign. And that would be on the traffic coming into town. So
On 42 or 99?
Yes, coming into town on 99. Just as you get where you start to see the building, you start to enter the building, we'll put it somewhere in that area. And then the second one is a mobile one where we can move it around like our sign trailer. We can just attach it to any pole and set it up almost anywhere. So, that's the plan. Ultimately, I'd like to have four permanently set signs around the community on some of our major arterials. So this depends on whether or not we can get some grant.
That might not bode well for them.
Yeah.
Employees speeding into town. And
yeah.
Late for work.
Trucks.
Trucks. Yep.
Well. You know, the signs are, the good thing about the signs is the signs are there for an awareness reason, not there to sight you.
So it keeps showing you how fast they get you.
Yeah, how fast you are going. And, they've been shown to be very beneficial in that. So, We had the unfortunate incident where we had one of our police vehicles burn up, and this is the one where we were in a chase. It was our K-9 vehicle. The county actually was on the chase. We called for a K-9. We're the closest K-9 unit. So they came through Winston and out to 10 Mile, went up on the mountain short ways, and then bailed. So that's why we had the K-9 in pursuit as well, just in case they bailed. We have a dog there to chase them down.
You need to explain the irony of where this fire took place.
Burnt Mountain, yes. So I get a call from the chief, and he says, one of our police vehicles is on fire, it's fully engulfed, and it's spreading up the mountain. And I'm like, oh no, right in the middle of fire season, for the end of fire season. Not only do we have a burned up vehicle, but we're going to have some huge bill for timber that we burn up. Anyway, luckily the FBA was right behind us and came in and got it stopped in less than an eighth of an acre. So that got stopped. Unfortunately, the vehicle, which is the reason that we have the dog that we have right now, which is a patrol dog, is that the city of Roseburg got out of the dog business. So they offered us the dog, and then they offered us their vehicle for $6,000. So this is a 2017 Ford Explorer that exploded. What happened was the vehicle was running, and our officer and the deputy were out on the chase with the canine, and another deputy came up behind. When he got out of his car, he noticed ours was running. He just reached in the window and turned it off. When he turned it off, it exploded out both sides of the engine and just was fully engulfed in just seconds. It was unbelievable.
Is that one of those recall things that they're going to replace?
Well, no.
They don't do that with police vehicles.
Yeah.
So you've
heard
Ford Exploder?
Yeah.
You know, Ford Exploders, and this one did. So anyway, we finally got our grant for our insurance settlement on it for $41,589.
That's more than we thought.
And we paid $6,000 for it?
We paid $6,000.
And we got how much?
Well, we got $41,589, but that was also covered all the stuff inside, the radars, the radios.
They were still
firearms. Sure. I mean, there was a tremendous amount of equipment that burned up. So it's not quite enough to cover a new vehicle, but it will certainly help. Again, it was a used vehicle to begin with. We also have prepared a recycling flyer. It's going to be going out in the bills in the not too distant future. And one of our requirements as a city is to have a recycling program. Of course, we contract for our recycling and garbage collection. So we're working with the vendor on that, Winston-Sanitary, for getting this kind of information out. But one of our requirements in our annual report is that we do educational information. So this is accomplishing that. We'll end up having four different ones that we'll send out once a quarter just to remind people what is available for recycling. And if you want to know what to do with used gasoline, I have no idea. So, I don't know what you do with it.
Go to the city manager's car and see if it runs.
You know, like, use mixed gas, especially.
That won't burn so well in the car.
Let's see. Talk about that. Oh, we got an interesting call from the county who said, you know, your URA is sunsetting. What do you want us to do with the money? And so I said, though it doesn't have a sunset date. So, to point it out of page in our URA ordinance where it talks about the 20 years, you know, running for 20 years. So I called our URA guru, who is Elaine Howard, who is the person that everyone goes to for URA stuff. And she had already reviewed our policy on that and said, no, there is no sunset date. So I called her and I said, hey, the county sent this. And she says, okay, I'll contact the county. So she contacted the county and informed them that we do not have a sunset date. So our URA doesn't sunset in 20 years. They talked about that from a financial perspective in order to draw up all the financial. But it never said in the document anywhere, never established a sunset. So, and there's no requirement in state law for a sunset. So ours will continue on past 2024 at council's pleasure. So if we don't, or DRA board's pleasure, which is also the council. So, anyway, I just wanted to let you know that, again, we now have a letter from Elaine State.
That's good news.
So,
how long can keep this job?
One of the other things that happened was the court, oh, it's been, oh, I don't know, some time ago. The district court ruled on an issue regarding a citizen over on the coast who was walking their dog on the trail to the beach and fell and got hurt. And so the city said, well, it's a piece of recreational inventory, so we get recreational immunity as a result of that. So like in our parks, we have what's called recreational immunity, that you use them at your own risk. That's law was set up. And so this called into question whether or not this was a piece of recreational inventory. And the lower court ruled, yes, it is, and it is covered by recreational immunity. Well, went to the Ninth Circuit, and the Ninth Circuit, in their infamous wisdom, said, well, we don't know for sure that her plan was to recreate while walking on this trail. She might have been just using it as access to get to the beach to recreate on the beach. So, even though the city built the trail and, you know, maintains it and all that stuff, no, not covered.
This was Newport, right?
Yes. And then they asked the Supreme Court to look at it and make a final ruling on it. The Supreme Court rejected reviewing. So that means that the appeals court position stands. And so now there's a question of what does that do to the recreational issue, because someone can always say, well, I wasn't there to recreate, I was there to do something else.
Sell drugs?
Whatever. And, you know, so. Anyway, so it opened a big door, let's put it that way. And the League of Oregon Cities is going to be lobbying heavily on this issue.
It can't be just, if that's the case, it's not just a League of Oregon Cities issue. That's going to be a National League issue.
Well, it's not every state has the recreational amenities standard.
But they do now.
Well,
that they will.
But so anyway, that's at least in Oregon, we're going to be hoping that and helping our legislature to make a decision on how to correct it.
Didn't we have something happen about 2 years ago about recreation at that time?
Yep.
Because there was something else happened, I believe, that I know going through this.
Yep.
Well, couldn't that also be, for instance, you got a person that's going to drive, take a shortcut and go through Great Park, mm-hmm. just driving through, and something happens. Well, I'm not here to recreate, I was just driving through. Would that not be almost the same thing?
It would be.
No, it would be. And so, therefore, now I think it needs to look into it because we could be looking at something that unintentional liability.
So, I mean, what Newport did, Newport did was they shut down all their trails. Which now
they shut down all the trails.
This was discussed at the mayor's meeting. Patty Mulvaney from the league discussed this in one of the meetings. And at that point in time, I don't think the Ninth Circus had taken that up.
That's right. They have.
But, crazy.
So one of the other things that we looked at was having our contractor that's doing the pavilion give us an estimate to build a wall out here to provide us some more additional storage and some better security. And it came up with a price of $18,000. Well, that includes a concrete floor, you know, removing the dirt, gravel, and
what size of building are you thinking of?
What's that?
What size?
No, not a building. Just the, across the back just of City Hall, there's that open area.
Yeah.
Just putting a wall across with a couple doors in it. So that one of the things that we've had issue with is homeless people going in, sleeping in there. So,
and we don't know what.
The other thing we've had is
we don't have any cameras to find out.
Yes, and now we do. We do have the cameras up, and we've seen people walking around the windows with flashlights trying to figure out how to get in. We've had a lot of unsettling information as a result of those cameras out. But they are very good at our camera security now around all, most of them. Not all of our facility, we have cameras.
We had some of our electrical components tampered with back there. They were jimmying things, and I came in, I didn't have power in my office. There was only power to a portion. So we had to have Public Works fix that up with the locks in that compartment area. That's a question to you.
That's just really jimmying with electrical. I just love the whole thing. You know, unlock them, let them go.
Yeah. Probably wouldn't do that again.
And
probably not.
Lastly, as Andy had talked about in his report, doing the drainage on Hall Street. If anybody or anyone in the room has driven down Hall Street, you know that's a horrible street. So getting the drainage fixed, now we can come back and talk with Andy about doing the same kind of grinding. Not much there to grind, but it'll take more money to actually correct it. Yeah, but that's a street. And we're limited. I mean, again, when you talk about funding, our street funding comes primarily from gas tax. And it keeps going down as far as the money.
Just a little side note for the audience. You know, you heard it mentioned about the pavilion a couple of times. That was donated. Okay? So, Andy, the donation for the pavilion, what was that, $25,000?
That was
or more?
70.
70?
76, I think.
Well, 126.
All together.
Yeah. We got Wake Up. Our Winston area partner.
How many years ago was that? Was that set up?
What's that?
How many years ago was it?
Many. So it was the Stuntsman, Stuntsters. Yeah, and Wake Up was placed in control of that.
Yeah, of the facility that died. And
they chose to offer this.
there's still a little bit left in that part.
The weight of the weight of what's created when the community center so, and that's
great. Thank you, Mark. Any questions for Mark? Perfect. New business licenses. Third attempt at a Thai house, a Thai restaurant. I can't pronounce it. Duriyangang Malay? Is seeking a business license to have a Thai restaurant. I imagine since it's here, the chief has already given his blessing. So does anybody want to provide a motion? Right. Well, he's totally got the place.
Yeah, here.
A lot of work in there. Have a motion. Looking for a second.
Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Both same sign. Thank you. Workshop dates. What are we looking at, if any?
We have none scheduled, Your Honor, but I'd also like to say that we would recommend that we not have our second meeting in November as a week of Thanksgiving.
I agree.
And then also with the in December, the second meeting in Christmas. We would recommend that we
well, if nothing major comes up, I concur. We'll just keep going for 1 month till first of the year, then we'll get back in the plan. Thank you. Resolution number 23-1109, design and engineering for the Northeast Darrell Avenue Sewer and Roadway Improvements Project. Mr. McIntyre, will read by title only, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. Resolution number 23-1109, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council, authorizing the city manager to enter into an agreement with Simple West Engineering Services for the project and construction management and final design services, development of documents and bid phase of the Northeast Darrell Sewer and Roadway Improvement Project.
Thank you, Mr. McIntyre. Mr. Howell, will you provide a staff report, please?
Sure. I think Thomas, you got some pictures, I believe, there, too. So this is kind of nice that I look at this. So this is our next continuation of the East Side project that we did in 2021. Basically, continuation, this is Darrell Jorgen down to 6th North. That's in that section of roadway is, people doesn't really need much for me to say about. It's extremely deteriorated. The drainage is lack thereof, I should say. And the sewer underneath is about the same. Looking at that, just picture the sewer underneath it. It's about the same condition. We're about 465 feet between manholes. That's a very steep road, and one of the things we do with our truck when we flush that line is you have to run a certain amount of pressure to get that nozzle, which weighs a couple pounds, with enough volume on an inch line to run up. And you always take the possibility of flooding homes up. You have to go careful. You have to pull the house. You have to bend things. You have to be on your toes or you can flood homes out. So one thing we're going to do is we're going to add a manhole and a center access so we're short enough run up. So we'll replace the sewer. A continuation, like I said, of the 160 or 21 season. So kind of before that one. Basically, we just come to council with the staff recommendation to enter an agreement with Silver West for $55,000 for design engineering services on the 25 for this project.
Do we have an approximation of the total cost of the project?
As of now, it's about 315. Depending when it happens, I suspect it to jump up 335 to 350 range by the time we're done. It's like all the other projects we've been in, Dave, I think it'll probably add. That's the goal. So the goal is we have one in the hopper. So we roll the next open year.
So this is like next spring then?
Yeah, that would be the goal. The thing, if we have the favorable contractors, things turn out right.
Perfect. Mayor, if I can add to that just briefly. So if you look at where the mouse is here, up Northeast Jorgen, was a street that was addressed not last fiscal year, but the one before. So this is a very deteriorated area. And regardless of the condition of the budget, the money that's there, these streets in this condition just keep aging. They're kind of withering away. This is 465 feet of a sewer. It just very detrimental.
Is that PLD? Is that concrete or is that AC?
It's got
plus AC.
Yeah, so it's got actually a cocktail of all of them. It has, I think, even a little bit of plastic in there. But the situation with streets like this, and Public Works goes through a very excellent and intricate selection process. And the same thing they did with the West Side Sewer, a roadway project. This street checks every box in terms of deterioration and bad condition. So it's just another effort to kind of stretch the monies as far as we can take it in terms of the $315,000, which it's only a fraction of what the West Side costs. But we're continuing to kind of keep the tires going and keep the momentum going in terms of replacing this old infrastructure.
So, Your Honor, if I may, for the benefit of the audience, we spent around $1 million over on the West Side a couple years ago doing roads and sewer work over there, and then we're on the East Side, I should say. And this year we went on the West Side to do West Side, then we'll go back to the East Side of the project, come back to the West Side. So we try and address at least the community in an east-west manner, split by the highway, to address the needs on both sides.
But sadly, our $1 million doesn't buy it as much. Yeah. It doesn't buy as much every year as it did the previous year.
No. We also have the $1 million grant we got for the school project to replace.
Do we have to match some of that?
Yes, and we think it's around $300,000.
So it's a $2 million grant with a 20% match, so it's around $400,000 that we're still on the cusp for, and that's in design right now. It's in the West.
Perfect. Any comments from the audience on this particular project?
I live on this road.
So you're excited?
Oh, my car will not need to be realigned every year.
Yeah. Well, those other streets you're on.
Yeah, no, I go up this hill.
Where's Tokay on this list?
Where's Tokay on the list? Well, it depends on which part of Tokay.
Obviously the old Tokay.
Yeah, as you know, the majority of Tokay got done under a local improvement district, and that's where the homeowners paid for the road through a low interest loan, basically, in order to do that. So, all of these roads, we've done a study and asked, a road surface analysis citywide, and so we're just trying to take the worst streets that we can to spend money on. So we will eventually get there.
The city has a transportation system plan. It recognizes high, low, medium priority based on all these factors. Mm-hmm. And the street that you're talking, especially where it rips down and gets skinny, that part is okay, which is for, is at the same threshold. So someone might ask, why this one? Well, it's the money that we have based on the length and how far we're able to go. That would be a more high dollar cost project. But it's at the same threshold as this, and we right. put it as equal.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that.
Okay, any more questions, comments? Council action, looking for a motion to approve resolution 23-1109. Design engineering for Northeast Darrell Avenue sewer and roadway improvements.
I make a motion that we approve resolution number 23-1109.
Motion looking for a second?
I'll second.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Okay. Proclamation, Veterans Day, November 11th, 2023. Can we have the lights, please?
Call? Sure.
Whereas Veterans Day, formerly known as an Armistice Day, is a federal holiday observed annually on November 11th
honoring military veterans of the United States and Armed Forces, and whereas it celebrates the day when the armistice with Germany went into effect, commemorating the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of the year 1918 and the end of World War I, and whereas since the establishment of the original 13 states, Americans have been willing to fight and die to preserve their individual rights as guaranteed in the United States Constitution and Bill of Rights, and whereas we can never fully repay our debt of gratitude to those who served, were wounded, or died in battle. Thus, the freedoms we enjoy now as Americans have been purchased and protected at an enormous cost, and whereas we continue to draw inspiration from the heroism and dedication of those who currently serve and sacrifice for the cause of liberty and justice for all. Now, therefore, I, David S. Rutter, Mayor of the City of Winston, Oregon, do hereby proclaim November 11, 2023, as Veterans Day, and urge the citizens of Winston to observe this National Day of Service and Gratitude by flying the flag for all veterans and thanking them for their service when faced with one. In witness thereof, I unto set my hand and cause the seal of the City of Winston to be affixed the 6th day of November, year 2023. Upcoming agenda items, Mr. Bauer, Mr. McIntosh.
As I've indicated earlier, we'll be canceling or recommending canceling in the second meeting of the month. So in December, we do have a county contract that we have to extend for some of the services we do provide
for the RV dump program. Site. And then we also have a public hearing for an annexation that was delayed due to a notification requirements. So, Mayor, you'll have a long script to read as you love to do so much.
I don't worry about them going to sleep.
And then we will, of course, have the resolution for the council in support of the wastewater master plan grant program through DEQ.
Perfect. Any non-agenda items from council? Thank you. Good of the order. Our check copies were in the packet. Claimed in excess of $500. Excuse me. Announcements for the month of November. The 5th, daylight savings time, we already did that. 8th, economic development at noon in City Hall. That's tomorrow. 10th, Veterans Day observed. City offices closed. 11th, Veterans Day, fly the flag. 14th, Park Board at 4 in City Hall. 16th, Urban Renewal Agency, if necessitated, 5 p.m. at City Hall. Alan, we got anything coming up there, you think?
Yeah. Your Honor, we do have an item of business to come before the board. As you know, we have our city sign over our front door, which is really rough condition. So we've gone out and we got a quote to replace that with the same kind of a vinyl metal sign like that one. So it's a nice fresh. It's cost about $300 to replace that sign. We'd also like to add one Wander Winston logo over the visitor center door, make it more visible.
So you want this to come from the URA funds, is that what you're telling us?
Yes.
Okay. We'll have an Urban Renewal Agency meeting on the 5th at City Hall.
16th.
At 5. 23rd and 24th, city offices closed. Happy Thanksgiving. 29th, Planning Commission at 7 in City Hall. Executive session, gentlemen. Thank you and good night. Appreciate you guys being here. Mark.
Water department. borrow this.
Your public hearings?
Yeah.
You're all scared you're going to have a phone,
dude. Okay, dude. How about this?
I don't know.
What's your complaint? Why did you park over
No, I...